Okay, we'd like to call this meeting to order. We've got a Hamilton-Hilton girls' basketball game on tonight. Kelly says the Bachelor's on. Tony says it's LSU and Clemson, and Bill's meeting, what's his name? Buffett there, Jimmy Buffett, for drinks, I think, with the beer here, I think, right? Okay, so let's get started. Already late, it's 5 minutes. It's beyond five. Yeah, okay. All right, so how about an approval of tonight's agenda by Mr. Forsythe, seconded by Ms. Terminelli and Ms. Curran? Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Approval of tonight's minutes. Ms. Arquette and Mr. Forsythe, any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. First up is our highway superintendent, Mr. Chambers. Our first resolution is authorizing the chair to sign a multi-year agreements for winter maintenance on the county road system. Seconded by Mr. Lightfoot, Mr. Haggard, Mr. Chambers.
Yes. Over the last several months, there's been negotiations going on with town supervisors and some county legislators that are members of the highway committee, and discussed a three-year contract to plow county roads, some county roads, for the next 3 years. The percentages are, as indicated in the resolution, the amount that we would pay the towns starting out is just over 2.1 million for the contract, and with the annual increases. There are escalators built into the contract for increases in diesel and salt, and there's also de-escalators if the prices drop to balance the equation out. So the Supervisors Association agreed to it, and this is basically bringing this to fruition.
Okay, any questions for Mr. Chambers? Seeing none, all those in favor of the resolution signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. I did forget to mention that Mr. Burke is excused. He's traveling. Mr. Forsythe.
As long as Don's here, can I ask more?
Certainly.
My town highway superintendent asked me a while back about, is it possible to opt in, or how would they go about opting in, picking up the county? I think there's 31 miles of county road in the town of Lisbon.
So right.
Is it possible to opt in? Or?
Well, that's part of our operations that we're doing currently with county forces. So I think if we were looking at other situations where other towns dropped out, and we would be mobilizing county forces to other locations to cover that, I think that would be the time to do that. But at this point, I haven't had any indication that the towns are going to withdraw from the contract.
So basically one would have to leave and
To kind of balance, you know, we've got to make we've also got to make the accounts balance.
Okay, yep, I got it. All right, no problem.
Okay, anything else, Mr. Chambers?
All set? All set for now.
Okay,
thank you very much.
Next up, Community Services, Jay Ulrich, and it's authorizing the chair to sign annual contracts for Community Services. Second by Ms. Curran and Mr. Perkins and Mr. Haggard. Jay?
All right, as you may remember, when I did the presentation on community services, the state has closed state-run psychiatric facilities over the years. What they did with those cost savings when they closed the state hospitals is they reinvested that money into the community. That money then goes through the local LGU, local government unit, and is dispersed to community providers. So this is a resolution authorizing the chair to sign the contracts for the downstream providers for those reinvestment funds. On the second page, we did some adjusting last year. We moved some monies around from one, it took it from one agency and moved it to another agency for family peer support services. That resolution came through at the time of the budget, which was passed first Monday in November. So we're circling back around and correcting that for the 2020 budget as well.
Any questions for Jay? Seeing none, all those in favor of the resolution signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, motion carried. Thank you, Jay. Next up is Indigent Defense, James McGain. And the actual resolution is authorizing the chair to sign a contract with the New York State Office of Indigent Legal Services for the provision of Indigent Legal Services funds for the contract period of January 1st of 2015 through December 31st of 2017. Seconded by Mr. Forsyth. James?
Yeah. So this is a contract that covers some of the costs for Indigent Defense as a whole, and covers some other positions throughout the county. So we're trying to catch up on these. I know the dates are 2015, 2017. ILS was a very small agency until about a year ago, and they're getting through their backlog, so we're trying to keep up with that so we can submit our reimbursements on this and we don't lose this money.
Mr. Haggard.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'll have to respectfully recuse on this.
Okay. Anyone else? All those in favor of the resolution signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, motion carried. Thank you, Mr. Gain. Next up, Human Resources. Johnny Dorothy is authorizing the chair to sign a contract with Guardian Life Insurance Company for group life insurance coverage. Moved by Mr. Forsyth, second by Ms. Curran and Mr. Perkins.
So St. Lawrence County provides life insurance coverage to the active employees, dependents, and the retiree population. And the current carrier contract will expire February 1st, 2020. And St. Lawrence County has experienced an increase in claims during the last 3 years, resulting in an increase in monthly rates of 23%, which is about 15 cents per $1,000 coverage for the first year, and then 3 cents each year after that. Burnham Benefit Advisors, our benefits consultants, has solicited and reviewed several quotes from other insurers and recommends continuation with Guardian based on their renewal rates. So I'm looking to sign this contract for 3 years.
And any questions for Ms. Dorothy? Jim, did you have your hand up? No? All those in favor of the resolution signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, motion carried. Thank you, Johnny. Next up is Real Property with Mr. Green. Bruce? The resolution is modifying the 2019 budget for the Real Property Office for fuel charges. Moved by Ms. Curran, second by Mr. Perkins. Mr. Green.
Thank you. I'm here to ask for a $200 transfer out of our budget to the contractual account. Fuel charges we ran over this year. We had quite a bit of work this year with our data collector, going out helping three towns on doing data collection for the revaluations. So we're asking for the $200 to replace that. Comes right out of our own budget, though.
Any questions for Mr. Green? All those in favor of the resolution signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed,
aye.
Motion carried.
Thank you.
Thank you, Bruce. Okay, we have the Vacancy Review Committee. First up is Community Services. You're going to do this?
Okay.
So the Vacancy Review Committee met last week and took a look at 12 positions. Two of those positions, one that you'll hear from in Public Health, as well as one in Buildings and Grounds, will, with the consideration of the board, abolish temporary positions that the board was kind enough to consider either pre-fills or because of a leave of some type, an overlap. Also, we are typically the August to August review period. We are about midstream, a little bit lower than we were last year. We're at about 65 positions so far. And if you recall, the number on average is about 160. So we're a little bit low, getting about to halfway point, and we are at about an 85% immediate fill rate. But that being said, Jay's got two positions on this evening. Go ahead.
The first is a vacancy for a behavioral health clinician. This is on the mental health clinic. This can either be an LCSW, an LMSW, or an LMHC. We have six in the budget. With this person that recently resigned, that leaves us with four. And we got news end of last week that another clinician is opting to leave as well. So that will, by next month, put us down to three. So we're asking for an immediate fill for this position. We have been advertising, and as of yet, we haven't been able to secure any good candidates, so we'll keep looking.
Questions for Jay? Mr. Forsyth?
Do they seem to be going to other places that provide the service, or where?
Well, this particular person, this last one that has yet to leave, is going to Claxton Hepburn. They're opening a new inpatient for children and youth. And will not have productivity standards in an inpatient.
Sure.
Yeah. Anyone else? Okay. All right, so the next up is the position of the chemical dependency counselor.
Okay, this is a part-time per diem position for jail-based chemical dependency services. That person will be doing assessments for the court. You know, there is some anticipation that the numbers for assessments are going to be less with the bail reform. But we'll have to wait and see. This is going to be funded at least through this year by SOAR money, the State Opioid Response. They agreed to pay for this part-time position. Previous to there being SOAR, this was part of county cost. So we're utilizing SOAR at least for the time being to fund this position. That person will work up to 7 hours a week depending on the number of referrals.
Any questions for Mr. Ellerich? Seeing done, we'll move on. Public health. So public health, Dana?
Yep.
Okay. So we have a position of a casual chemical dependency counselor.
Principal fiscal officer.
Oh, where am I? Oh, there goes.
Budget mod.
Budget mod, all right. This casual counselor sounds like we get too much of that going on now, right? No? Okay. So, all right. Principal fiscal officer for public health.
So this vacancy is due to on Thursday. The person is going to be leaving after 35 years just with the department. So we'd like to refill this. And this is a position that we asked for the gap fill. So we have had a temp position for about a month, so there's been about 4 weeks kind of overlap to learn the role. And so as soon as we get the approval, we'd actually like to put this person just into the permanent role.
Any questions for Dana? Okay, thank you. Next up, for social services, we have a request for a social welfare examiner, Chris.
This is a key position in the department, a position that's responsible for making eligibility determinations, completing recertifications, maintaining the cases to meet the state deadlines. The position is vacant because of a resignation.
Any questions for Chris concerning this appointment? It's immediate fill?
Yes.
Okay. All right, our next one is for a senior caseworker, Chris.
So this is an abolish create. There is a clerk position that would be, senior clerk position that would be abolished. And this senior caseworker position is important for us to be able to adequately supervise the caseworker assistants, the homemakers, and a senior clerk that's involved with transportation and also some volunteers connected with supervised visitation. This senior caseworker position can provide the kind of coordination and oversight for this that will greatly enhance our ability to make sure that the visitation is taking place.
Any questions for Chris? Mr. Lightfoot.
I don't have a question, I have a comment. In reading the justification, Chris, to me it's pretty scant on reasons why we need this position. It seems to me, in looking at the justification for it, that it could probably be filled with a similar position that you probably already have on board. And when I first saw it, it says a new position. It didn't say that this was a abolish and create. I won't be voting in favor of any new positions that come forward here until we see what the governor's budget portends for the County of St. Lawrence. Abolish and create is a little bit different, but can you give me some reason to believe that this isn't a scant job description, that there's some overriding value to having this position on board, or this person in this position on board?
I'll do my best. We have a challenge in child welfare with the volume of work, and the supervising of that work is essential. And to have enough supervisors to do the work well is important. We've added some positions, including the caseworker assistant positions, the homemaker positions, and that's very excellent and very helpful, and we're very grateful to the legislators for doing that. One of the aspects of this that we want to make sure you're aware of is that this is not adding to our staff. This is really changing the title and increasing the cost from the senior clerk by perhaps less than $3,000 of actual county cost, in an effort to make sure that we have adequate supervision of the staff. I know that we also have our deputy commissioner here, Heather Wenzel, and she may have some other thoughts about why this is an important addition to, and it's not an additional position, it's changing the title.
Hi. So, Mr. Lightfoot, you mentioned that we may have some other staff available to provide some supervision.
I'm asking.
Yes. So I think the struggle that we have with that currently, our CPS supervisors are supervising about 171 cases and 6 to 8 caseworkers each, and our preventive supervisors over 70 cases and 6 to 8 caseworkers as well. So their ability to supervise other staff, they're really struggling to even supervise the cases and staff they have right now. A lot of research has indicated that quality visitation allows children to go home more quickly and saves us money, because children are in foster care for shorter periods of time. What we're finding now is that recursive process of looking at families' progress to make sure that we're moving them to a lower level of supervision more quickly so that children can return home takes a lot of supervision. It really is a group of people who are new paraprofessional staff who have not worked in child welfare before, and they need a lot of help and a lot of training. What we're hoping to do is be able to move away a little bit from our volunteer program, because we don't have a lot of volunteers, and really move towards a coached visitation model where our staff are providing to families the assistance that they need to improve their skills. Right now we have a great and very dedicated group of volunteers who essentially watch families to make sure that they're safe with their children. So that level of assistance and modeling that we would like to see, so that families are really engaged in making progress, is what we're hoping to move towards. And having a group of staff who are together with a dedicated supervisor who can really assess these cases and move them forward, I think will save us money in the end, and we'll be providing a better quality service to our families.
If I may?
Sure.
You mentioned volunteers, that
yes,
they are not filling the need. In other words, you don't have enough volunteers to do the work. But in the justification, you're saying that this person's going to train your staff and the volunteers in the office. What exactly does that training consist of? And how long does it take to train somebody to do, you know, this type of work?
So right now we have about 7 volunteers who work part-time. And part of the reason why we've added the 2 homemaker visitation supervisor positions that you have allowed us to create is because we've more than doubled the number of foster homes that we administer here that DSS oversees. So 3 years ago in 2017, we had about 30 homes, and now we have over 80, and over 100 children who are in the commissioner's custody who are in DSS foster homes, and so they need that supervised visitation. So that's part of the reason. The coached visitation process, we don't use a model like that now. As I said, we have volunteers who are wonderful, and they supervise visits to make sure families are safe. So there isn't a lot of training for them. A lot of our volunteers have been with us for many years, and so it's essentially modeling. So one of our staff would work with them, and they would supervise visits together until they're comfortable to be on their own. Often they would supervise visits right at the department to start, so if they ran into an issue, someone could go down and assist them before they were supervising in the community. What we'd like to see is an approach where we're providing staff with ongoing mentorship and training. So they would meet with their supervisor once a week, talk about the issues the family's having, talk about situations that occur where they didn't really know how to respond or what to do next, and report back to the caseworker what's happening with the family. So there's a back and forth communication. So that would be ongoing training that staff would require for any amount of time, I would say, that they're working with the department. But the initial training, I think it's going to depend on the person and their skill set, but it would involve them working with a supervisor, supervising visits together until they're comfortable. There are a lot of things that occur during visits that are hard to handle when you don't have that experience, and safety concerns, of course.
Who provides that training now within your department?
So we have our staff developer who works with our small group of volunteers. So it's she doesn't provide other work in child welfare, but she does assist with our volunteers and has done that for many years.
Is there a person that you have in mind to fill this position, or is it something you're going to advertise?
Well, it's a senior caseworker position, so caseworkers who've been with us for 18 months or more would be eligible for that position.
And are there currently on board senior caseworkers that have that skill set to be able to provide that?
Well, we have a myriad of caseworkers who have that skill
right.
set, I think.
Okay.
We currently have two senior caseworker positions at the department, one in CPS and one in preventive.
All right. Thank you.
Mr. Forsythe.
A couple questions. Well, again, I've got a few customers all of a sudden that their grandparents and they're taking care of their grandkids.
Yes.
Are they considered a case, foster case, when it's the grandparents doing?
So it depends on the type of situation. So some grandparents actually become certified foster parents.
Okay.
Other grandparents might have direct placement of children with them, and other grandparents might have a different arrangement with the court so that the Department of Social Services isn't necessarily involved with them. It depends.
Okay, and also one instance was one of the grandparents said they took them back away because of age. Would the age of the grandparent come into play?
Well, it would depend. Certainly we like to make long-range plans and think about what will happen to children as people age, but if they're physically able to care for children and are invested and want to do that, I mean, it's hard to give an answer without knowing more details.
Sure.
But we certainly try to work with grandparents. Of course, we want to place children with family first whenever
sure.
possible, and if we can provide the supports to make that happen, then we do.
Okay. It was just an instance that popped up, and I hadn't really heard of it. So,
yeah.
The other thing, have you noticed anything as far as the reimbursement for positions? You know, the state reimburses 6181. Have you noticed the percentages changing in this fiscal year at all?
Not really, no.
Okay.
Not yet.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Ms. Curran.
So I get to see this kind of from a few different sides, but I've noticed lately, and tell me if I'm wrong, that there's a lot more movement. You'll get newer foster parents, and maybe sometimes they get kids that they're not really sure what to do with. Then you have to move that child again, and they go different places. There just seems like a lot more. It's not the traditional place this child here, this is where they stay, life works out. It seems like you have a lot more running around to do than you used to have, and a lot more tracking. I know that I recently had a situation that I had to call in the middle of, you know, work about what to do with something. So I just feel like you have a lot more traffic. Even with, say, if you have 180 kids, I feel like it's more work with 180 kids now than it was, say, 3-4 years ago.
I think so, and that's a statewide and a national trend as far as movements for children who are in foster care. There's a lot of reasons why that happens. Absolutely, children having exceptional needs is one of them. And when you have a pool of foster parents, sometimes you don't have really the perfect person. You know, the person who doesn't have other children in the home, for example, for a child that, who has higher needs. And so you may be placing children in a home that really isn't the ideal placement because that's the placement that's available at that time while you're looking to find a more appropriate spot. Also, there's a lot of regulations regarding siblings being placed together. And we do sometimes have large sibling groups, so maybe five or six brothers and sisters. And so when we first place them, we're not able to place them all together, but we're working on that and trying to find a home who can, that can accommodate them. We also are very mindful of children's school districts and trying to keep them in the same school district. And so sometimes we may have children who move because of that. There's a lot of reasons for it.
And you have some children that like live in Messina and go to school in a different district and all that tracking. And I just, yes. It seems like a more complicated process than it did even 4 years ago when I was a foster parent.
It is very complicated. And we also have children who are in special education programs who may be going to different districts than their home district as well. So there's a lot to think about. The canvassing that our homemakers do to try to find that perfect match, they work very hard at it.
And that was not a criticism. I just think you do a lot.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Okay. Anyone else concerning this position? No, we'll go on to the next one. Thank you, Heather.
The next position is a support investigator position in Child Support Collection and Enforcement Unit. This is a important part of what the department does to make sure that if somebody owes child support that they're paying it. It helps reduce the number of folks who are needing to apply for benefits. There are nine support investigators. One position is vacant already and you approved filling that the second of the month. This is a second position that's coming open due to retirement.
Any questions?
Next position is a caseworker position in CPS. This is a position that's vacant due to an employee resigning and is a key part of our efforts in child welfare to make sure that we're responding to the needs of children.
Okay. Any questions for Chris on this? Seeing none, let's move on, Chris.
The last of these is a general counsel position in the Department of Social Services. This is another abolish and create. So the position that would be abolished is the social services attorney position. The idea behind this is to have a chief legal advisor, someone really managing, coordinating the legal office that is at a level beyond the senior social services attorney. That role would continue to have some supervisory functions, but would be in coordination with the general counsel position. This is a core part of the efforts at the department, and if we have strong legal representation, that adds to the strength of our child welfare efforts. This is a 81% approximately reimbursed position. And so even though there is an increase from the social services attorney to the general counsel level here, that is money well spent if we are able to attract some interest in the position.
Any questions concerning the general counsel? Okay, that's it, Chris. Thank you very much. Okay, next up for the sheriff's office, Mr. O'Brien. We have a correction officer position.
Hello. Good evening, everybody. So this is a vacancy that occurred because of resignation. The officer moved on to another local municipality as a police officer. So we're looking for one fill to maintain the 56 corrections officers that are required by the Department of Commission of Correction.
Any questions for Mr. O'Brien?
Okay.
Thank you. John. Next up, governmental services. No representative. That one's out. Just throw that one out. Okay. Can you speak to that, Ruth?
I can.
As I mentioned in the summary report, there was a temporary position that has now been resolved, and so the request now would be to fill the position that was formerly occupied. They are down, I believe, two positions in the efforts to maintain all the facilities, and certainly as evidenced this last weekend, being tapped in the seasonal efforts to keep sidewalks and parking lots empty of debris and snow and ice. It's important to have these positions filled. This one, I think, is located here in the courthouse.
Any questions for Ruth? Okay. Next up, our county treasurer, Renee. We have a senior account clerk position.
So we have this vacancy in where we, I'm sorry, is it on?
Nope.
Okay.
No, it's not on.
It's not.
There.
Red.
I saw yours were red, sorry. So this vacancy is due to someone moving to another department. It's in our payroll office. It's essential to assist with the day-to-day payroll procedures. They do all of the payroll changes, add employees in Munis, update deductions and payments. They update pay codes, research wages for retirement calculations. They review payroll, verify that departments have entered things correctly. We process payroll for roughly 800 people every 2 weeks, process the deductions. We also receipt health insurance downstairs. That's part of this person's duties. Payroll office files quarterly taxes, prepares W-2s and 1099s, and this position's critical to being able to meet all of those deadlines. So it's an in the trenches kind of day in, day out, cyclical work. And I don't think we could do payroll every 2 weeks without it. We have 2.5 maybe FTE total in the payroll office, including this position.
Okay, any questions for Renee? Would this be someone within the department, or you'll be advertising or backfilling?
This person, actually, we have someone who is interested in this position from my office who is on the promotional list, which leads me to the next position.
Okay.
So,
all right.
The second position I'm requesting a fill on is the account clerk. As Kevin just asked me, our current account clerk is interested in the promotion, and I'm glad to give her that opportunity. She's on the list and she's interested in moving up, so but that will leave us without the account clerk, which is a really important position in our office. Maybe it belies the title, but this person's really our front person at the window and on the phones. So it's, first of all, it's mostly customer service, because they're really the face of the treasurer's office at the window. They also answer telephones, you know, helping taxpayers with assistance on their questions. They process tax receipts that come in the mail by phone and at the window, because we do take payments over the phone, credit card payments over the phone as well. In addition, this title does all of the scanning of the checks that we process daily. As a treasurer's office, all of the departments send the checks that they collect for various payments to our office, and we do the deposit work from the majority, not everything, but so the volume there is pretty intense, and this position is responsible for doing that. So when I say they scan them to the bank, we don't physically write up deposit slips and bring them to a bank anymore with our checks. Our checks were actually able to run through a machine. They're processed, it's deposited that day at Key Bank, at our banking institution. So the only thing we actually have to physically get to a bank is cash.
Mr. Forsythe.
So that's basically an e-check. You just put in the routing number, account number, and it just sweeps it?
We actually have a machine that it reads it, takes the information, yeah, that Key Bank provided us with. And it reads the information off the off the check, posts it to our accounts. We see it the next day.
Okay.
So,
anyone else? On the credit cards, do we charge them for the fee?
Yes.
We do?
Yes.
Is it 3%?
I can't recall exactly what this one is. I think it is around 3%. Okay. We were doing some work actually to possibly switch providers for that. That may be a benefit to save a little bit of money on that. That will be sometime in the next couple of months.
But where the county is made whole.
Yes. Yeah, there's no tax cost.
Okay.
For that.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
If there's no objections with this because of the timing, because we'll be moving somebody out of a position to learn a new position. She's going to have to train down for the next position, whoever we have. We'd like to be able to get this process started with the promotion, with the lists, because the canvassing process can be long. And if you don't mind, I'd like to start that, if you don't have any objections to that, so that we can try to get somebody in here pretty soon, pretty quickly in February. And any other questions on that? So I just a quick update on a couple of other things. Our external auditor, Stresher Malecki, will be here this week. They're coming tomorrow. They'll be in late morning because they have a drive up from Buffalo and probably be here through Thursday afternoon. This is part of the 2019 audit planning. So we're starting, we had a 3-month break, is how I look at it. The November 2019 BankRec summary is on Google Drive. And I don't know if everyone has had a chance to see it yet, when I'm asking for this position, but I posted sales tax, the sales tax receipt for this year, and we had a good final quarter. So that's it. I could say it was excellent. it was the last two quarters of sales tax were very good. Yeah. Listen, Ruth's giving me.
Good.
Because it's good. It was great. It was a great. Some of you have seen it and some of you haven't, but I did email it to you all. Okay.
Mr. Forsyth.
Is it too early to tell if that would be any of the benefit of this online sales, or how are we ever going to know, or are we ever going to know?
I
like to think it's the Trump administration, but that's my personal opinion. But, yeah.
Well, I'm not going to say anything about that, but.
Tony's nodding his head in approval.
I do think it's a little too soon. I think we've been told by the state that they're trying to come up from tax and finance, that they are trying to come up with a way to try to give us that information, but they haven't rolled anything out yet.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Renee.
Resolutions first.
Okay. So we have the county administrator's report. We'll start off with the resolutions. The first one is authorizing the chair to sign a contract with the New York State Police for space at the Public Safety Complex. Moved by Mr. Haggard, second by Mr. Fay and Mr. Forsyth and Mr. Arquette.
So as indicated in your resolution, we have a long-standing relationship with the New York State Police, which I think over the last coming up on decade has been plagued by a conversation about where and what would be the best solution for the state police as far as facilities. They have indicated, and we have discussed, and the resolution before you identifies the terms. They will retain the space they occupy. They will transfer some parking spaces back to the county. They will look at, after a 5-year flat rate increase over the prior 5 years, they will look at a 3% increase per year. And so that will take them from about a $16 per square foot, which I think is a relative number, depending on where you look, up to about an $18 per square foot by the end of this lease. So it's movement on their part. We have a great relationship with law enforcement in that building and with dispatch. I think it's something that works very well, and I'm hopeful that you'll consider approving the resolution.
Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Our next resolution is modifying the 2019 budget for the county administrator's office for cost of services for court-ordered patients at state-operated mental hygiene facilities. Moved by Mr. Forsyth, seconded by Ms. Curran.
So if you recall, I believe the beginning of October, I mentioned to you that commitments had been received from the court. These are not ongoing relationships that these individuals have with our departments. These are court-ordered commitments. And to date, we have $62,359.05 in bills. And that is a monthly average of about $28,000. So we have in the expectation of a bill for December. And so you're seeing the $100,000 because there's already the draw up until now on those funds that's drawing away from our other financial obligations.
Questions on this resolution? Seeing none, all those in favor of the resolution signify by saying aye. Opposed? Motion carried.
And before, just a couple of comments, I wanted to go over and take any questions you might have on the fourth quarter report. The only caution that I would give you in some of the numbers that you're seeing there this quarter is that we're meeting tonight on the 13th of January for finance, and typically we meet on the last week, the 24th, 25th of the month. And so as you would imagine, we're a couple weeks ahead of both revenues being received as well as final bills from the prior month coming in. The social services claim has not been submitted. We'll see a dramatic difference between now and what year-end will look like. However, that being said, not a good reason not to give you the report. So, you know, there are 16 departments that from their adopted budget have come in over the number that you have appropriated for them. Nine of those are over their modified budget, but we attribute most, if not all of that, to that revenue coming in for the last quarter. So what I'd like to do is certainly, you have this report, I will take your questions, but I'd like to update this again for you for the February meeting. As you know, next week is a holiday. The following week, we've moved meetings because of NYSAC, and then that first week of February. I don't think it will tell the total picture for year end, but Renee will bring that to you in the latter part of April, early May. But what I do think is it will give you a much better picture. All of the runs will be done for the month, for December, and we'll be looking at some of those revenues having come in. Questions? Okay. I do have four transfer funds to report out to you, two for emergency services, and those were one for the phone charges in the amount of $1,000, and another for the cost of fuel. As you'll remember, additional travel was necessary along the river during the spring and summertime to assess the damage and respond. So that amount is $1,100. There is a transfer of funds for travel in community services for mental health for $1,275. And there is a transfer to the probation department, which travels through the Board of Legislators budget because we handle the document management funds in the amount of $3,500. So those are the transfer of funds for this month. I want to remind you this Friday, we're hosting the first employee appreciation event at Sergi's in Potsdam. I hope you can join us from 5:30 to 9. It's not anything in the way that you couldn't stop by at any point in the evening. So if you find that you've got some time, please stop by. We have over 100 responses from our staff who will be joining us. So we're excited about that. As indicated in the email communication I shared with you over the weekend, the county was prepared, but also very fortunate to have experienced milder impacts than were forecasted for the ice storm compared. I'm proud of all of our 24/7 staff, including highway, our deputies on road patrol, our dispatchers, our buildings and grounds and facilities staff, for their diligent efforts, and also the county staff that were on standby if needed. We're very fortunate to have the talent and dedication of employees in times like these. I did send out the shared services survey to our panel members, which includes supervisors and mayors. I did also include some of the school districts. All of the school districts will be included. Hopefully in the next 7 to 10 days, we can schedule a time to meet in Canton. So I'll give you those details as well. And then I wanted to let you know that last week, unfortunately, we had to cancel our negotiations that were scheduled with CSEA, but we've rescheduled for the beginning of February. And we will also in February negotiate with our indigent defenders and then continue on with our solid waste unit. Questions?
Mr. Haggard.
Yes, Ms. Doyle, I just had a quick question of clarification. I think last week we had said the 19th for the employee appreciation evening. The 17th is Friday.
It's on the Friday.
My apologies.
17th, yes.
So the 17th is
yes.
Correct, and
yep.
we had written it down wrong. Thank you.
Anyone else? Okay. So let's move into committee reports. First up is Mr. Denisha with Cornell Cooperative Extension.
I have nothing to report, Mr. Chairman. Our last meeting was Tuesday, December 10th, and I provided a report at our last finance committee meeting.
Thank you, Mr. Denisha. Ms. Curran for the Fish and Wildlife Management Board.
So December's meeting, we talked about the spruce grouse. We had tried to repopulate them. Unfortunately, they have a tracheal parasite, which has made the repopulation not as successful as we might have liked. Also, they're very popular with the fisher, So we've been counting the Fisher to make sure there's enough of them, and they unfortunately have taken a liking to our spruce grouse. The moose population is about, they feel, 149 in Region 6. I don't know what they do with them when they move, like, next door or whatever, but that's what they've counted, and they figure we have for herd, which is why we're seeing more of them in the road lately. If you see a moose, slow down, because car versus moose doesn't end well for the car ever. For the people who think they can try to dodge them, just stop. And Dave, yes, he said that we do have more girl deer than boy deer. He said the problem is the increased number of people who shoot the spike horn, and they have, in some of the part of the state, you'll see the commercials now that say, you know, when you see the smaller deers with the smaller racks, leave them for a year, you know, leave them on the trail, because they said that we don't really have a lot of people that shoot doe, and for whatever reason, we're just really unbalanced now. Anybody have any questions? We did talk about bear. There's a lot of bear, too.
Okay. Thank you, Ms. Curran. Ms. Terminelli, Fisheries Advisory Board.
Next meeting is at the end of the month.
Okay, thank you. Governor Fairboard, Mr. Leader. Okay. Mr. Denisha for Highway and Solid Waste.
Mr. Chairman, the last meeting that the committee had was Monday, November 25th at 4 p.m. One of the things that we've been working on, and Mr. Chambers brought it up this evening, was the contract with the towns for maintenance. And Ms. Archbleck joined me and Mr. Chambers, and I think we got to a good place. It was very amicable and
excellent. Good. On that note, Mr. Chambers, when will the bids be going out, or the proposals for the buildings, the salt, the three different buildings?
Yes, for the facilities.
Yeah. You're not at the final design rate yet?
No, sir.
Okay. We're coming. Okay.
It's coming. Very close.
All right. Thank you. The IDA, Mr. Reagan.
No report at this time. Board hasn't met yet this month.
Okay. Thank you. Recreational and Trails Advisory Board, Mr. Arquette. Mr. Arquette. The RBRDA, Mr. Forsyth. Okay. St. Lawrence County Chamber of Commerce, Mrs. Arquette.
We haven't had a meeting, but I would like to report that the St. Lawrence County Chamber of Commerce was recently awarded nearly $300,000 by the Empire State Development Market, New York. And this will be to help support professional tournaments across the county, including a comprehensive marketing plan to promote the destination as a premier freshwater fishery. So they will be partnering with Messina, Waddington, Ogdensburg, and Black Lake, also the Clarkson Tournament. And they will use the funding to pay for host fees, rentals, entertainment, and comprehensive marketing campaigns.
And when does that money become available?
They have, let's see, currently I think half of the funding has become available.
Okay. So no checks in the mail, sort of?
I'll update you.
Don't stamp on the letter is what you're saying. Okay. Soil and water. Okay. So we just met the other night, and we talked about this agreement. We're going to actually decide whether we're going to sign it or not with the state. And so we're going to wait for Rianne. She's been on maternity leave, Rianne Delansky, she's expecting to be back in February. So we'll have more to report then. All right. So old and new business. Ms. Curran.
There's been some request, and I tend to agree with it, about putting a resolution together saying that we don't agree with the new bail, cashless bail act. There's a lot of concern within the community, and I think it's Rensselaer County that's looking at having one passed this week, and I think that it would be something that would be worthwhile to put forth.
So, Mr. Denisha.
Mr. Chairman, I, in regards to that, I spoke with Assemblyman Smullen and Assemblyman Walczyk Saturday, and it was in regards to that. And I've asked them if they could forward a resolution that we could look at and, and get it and share it. And,
Thank you. Anyone else? So on the agenda is a paper bag carry out reduction fee discussion. Oh, did you, Mr. Lightfoot? Did you want to speak to that?
Not really.
But, Ruth says you do, so actually it goes to you, Ruth.
Oh, I'll speak to it if you'd like.
I'm
just kidding.
All right. I'm not going to go into all the details of this thing, and it's available here adjacent to the tonight's agenda. If you haven't already read it, it will tell you that the idea behind it is to reduce the use of single-use plastic bags with certain exceptions, and that we as a county can impose a paper bag fee on the consumer unless that consumer happens to be receiving some kind of listed public benefits. They would be exempt. If they were receiving those benefits, they would be exempt from paying that fee. But what happens is that it's a nickel per bag. The state would end up with 3 cents of it, and the counties would end up with, I believe, 2 cents of it. My personal feeling is it just doesn't seem worth the aggravation and what we're going to have to, those unforeseen events with respect to something like this, collecting it, reporting it. And if you read on into the details, there's pretty extensive reporting required from this. So my feeling, my personal feeling, is that I would not want to see the county get involved in something like this. But it is on Google Drive. We don't have to vote on it tonight, but I'd suggest that everybody take a good hard look at it and come back to the board meeting in February if in fact you want to see a resolution with regard to it.
Okay. Any contrarian views? No? Okay, we'll move on. So we'll go into executive session. And we'll need it for negotiation, litigation, personnel, and appointments. Pardon me.
Personnel is for employment status.
Okay, personnel is for employment status. I would entertain a motion. Mr. Perkins, second by Ms. Curran. Any discussion? All those in favor going into executive session, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Oppose? Aye. Motion carried.
I'm pretty good with your time there.
This is what I do, you know.